If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to a few verses of Scripture. And Acts chapter 9, the name of Jesus that made a difference. The one who bears this name is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not going to be speaking on this, but just for connection to the other passage. It's really verse 5, but I'll read verse 3. That's Acts chapter 9, reading verse 3. And as Paul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's just the first 9, but in context, it's good to read it to get the context. So we'll read from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Reading from verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and sustains our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both his and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And we just go down to verse 8. Who shall conform you unto the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God. And we turn this service over to you and ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to this weak vessel and touch lives for your glory, praise and honor. And get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preface this by saying that we want to focus on God's faithfulness. We want to focus on God's faithfulness. And I am sorry I cannot stand before you and say to you, brothers and sisters, I am always faithful to the Lord. But I do have a testimony that he is always faithful to me. And so Paul was going down on Damascus Road, and he was one who was persecuting the Christians. He lived a moral life, but was very legalistic and was very angry with Christians. As a fact, his desire was to destroy them, and he thought he was doing good. I don't know how true it is. McGee said that he was no ordinary man. He was riding on a white horse. I haven't read that, so I don't want to make that an axiom. It may be a possibility, but he said he was very highly recognized. He was powerful in authority, and he was going down that Damascus Road. But while he was going down, in order to bring Christians into prison and even children, the resurrected Christ met him on the road. And when he met him, he heard a voice, and then he fell to the ground. And you know, the Lord could have revealed himself to him that I am the God Almighty. I am God over all. I am Christ, the resurrected one. But you know how he revealed himself? It's what we've been talking about in simple. He says, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Paul, I am the Savior of the chief of sinners. I am Jesus. You remember when Joseph's brethren were betrayed him? You remember when Joseph brought her in and put him in the pit? When they had sold him? When Potiphar's wife had lied against him and put him in prison? When there was no one for him there, and yet the Lord was with him? The Lord met him in his deepest needs. He was there with Joseph. And you know what happened? Joseph's brethren, with all the anger, with all the things that they did against him, you know, Joseph said to them, "I am Joseph, whom you have sold in Egypt. I am Joseph." He was willing to reveal himself, not as the father's great, lovely son, whom he loved more than the others. He said, "I am Joseph." Jesus, I want you to know today, he wants us to know him on a personal level. And I want to say that there is no person, whenever I read this, it comforts me that no person is too hard for the Lord to change. And no person is too far for him to bring home. I am so glad that the Lord revealed himself to Paul. And he was Saul of Tarsus and he changed his name to Paul. But Paul was now a new man in Christ. And so he came to Corinth and he met with the saints there in Corinth. And the Apostle Paul met with a group of believers. And we have a lot today, beloved brothers and sisters. When you read Corinth, it was a place where you'd find those three D's. Remember them. One, it was a church that was defiled. There was sexual immorality in Corinth. It was a place that was divided, a church that was divided. There were like four groups competing. I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas, I'm for Jesus. And it was a group that was disgraced. They were turning from the real grace of God to the law. They were turning to idols. They were turning to so many things. But the Apostle Paul, instead of focusing on their failures, he focused on the faithfulness of God. And he said, God is faithful. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me just give you some highlights quickly here. He's writing unto them, and he says to them in verse 1, he said, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. And you'll see there, Paul, and you know, Paul means little. Saul means big. You remember King Saul? He was head and shoulders above the people. And Saul is a type of the flesh. The flesh will always put you up high. But Paul means little, humility. And so Paul called to be an apostle. This touched me very much because apostle, I used to say just simply apostle is one sent. But if you read it very carefully, it comes from apostello and it means sent by. Sent by. So it is not just one sending you, it is who is sending you. So the Lord had sent Paul. And he is the one who is sending us. But before we get into that, you know, we want to see the faithfulness of God in sending his son. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 14. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 14. And John is writing there to the church and he said, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." So God the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Now look at John, the Gospel according to John chapter 4. And verse 34, John chapter 4, verse 34. I just want to see the faithfulness of God. God is faithful and he sent his son to be the Savior of the world. And now in faithfulness, the son said in John 4, 34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Brothers and sisters, God is faithful. And he sent his son. And his son is faithful. And he came to do the will of the Father. And now this one who came He is the one who is sending us. We are not just going out into the world like we want to tell others. We are being sent. You remember in John chapter 20, you remember how the Lord Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So we are sent. And we are not just sent into the world to meet others, to see them. We are sent there with his message of hope. And thank God there is hope for every person in Jesus Christ. This is why we want to be stirred up. We thank God for the comfort we enjoy here. But there is a passionate love for Christ and a compassionate heart for those who are without Christ, ready to perish. We believe in hell. Hell is real to me. It touches my heart to know of anyone being eternally tormented, eternally separated, eternally lost, eternally away from God, Jesus Christ. And we need brothers and sisters to have that compassionate love. And if you have a loved one in the family, may it touch our hearts that we just don't want to pamper them. We want to tell them, this is not peppermint. Put peppermint on the poison bottle. We want to tell them the bottle has poison. And so we want to really tell others that the hope is in Jesus Christ. So Paul went and he was an apostle. But he was sent by Jesus Christ and through the will of God. And then verse 2 says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. You know, the church has two addresses. You know that. Brethren, we have a geographical address, the local assembly. The local assembly has a geographical address. Amen? We are at Brooksville. But we have a spiritual address. And our address is in Christ Jesus. That's our spiritual address. There's only one church. But there are many assemblies gathered together, local fellowship. And we have a local address. All of us, all believers, we have a spiritual address. And that spiritual address is in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. If you're a new believer, it doesn't matter if you've just been born again, you are in Christ. Thank God for that. And now where Christ sitteth in glory, positionally, we are seated with him. And so we are secured. And so he wanted them to know that they were at Corinth. But he said to those who are in sanctified in Christ Jesus. The word sanctified means to set apart. To be there for him. And you know, he says, called to be saints. And I want you to know, you don't have to die to become a saint. No, he wasn't speaking to dead people here. Amen? No, he was speaking to living people here. So when a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God calls us saints. And he always used the plural so we don't get heady. You wouldn't find saint in the Bible, but you'll find saints. We are saints. Set apart for God. Sanctified for him. So we don't have to wait till we die to become a saint. Amen? We are saints now in him, set apart for him. And then he says, grace and peace. But now let me get to the verse quickly, because I don't want to preach too long. God is faithful. Not that God shows faithfulness. He does that. But that's not what it is saying here. So the first thing you have about God is the character. The character of God is faithful. God is faithful in his character, who he is. He is faithful. So you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. You'll see the word he is. This is what he is. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And then we got to ask the questions on all of us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to men, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It is important to know, especially as young people, you know, the enemy, all of us get temptation. You don't have to be young to be tempted. We all get temptations at times. But it's how we respond to it, you know. And so I want to say to the young people that there are three things here, three C's you want to remember. One temptation is common to all men. That means that anyone, even Jesus himself was tempted, but he did not sin. He didn't yield to it. And then the other ones, the consequences of yielding to temptation. You see, Satan always shows you the bright side of things, never the end results. He always wants to show you the glory, but never the cross. He wants to show you the pleasures of sin, but never the pain that follows. And so he wants to make you comfortable in your sin, but never shows you the end result of hell. And so Satan is, the consequence of sin is when we yield to Satan. And there are a lot of scriptures support that, but I just want you to know, we sometimes sing here in our meeting, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Look manfully unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Yes. Fight manfully, yes. Thou passion subdued, right? Amen. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through or see you through. So those are the two C's you want to keep in mind. It's common. It's going to be tempted. Whether it be by drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex, whatever. It's going to come. And to yield to it, it's sad. It's a downhill. But the third C to remember is the conquest over temptation. Amen? So Jesus overcame all the temptations. And he overcame temptation by the Holy Spirit that you have in you now. He overcame temptation by the Word of God. It is written. And he overcame temptation by being a man of prayer. And you and I, we can overcome all the temptations that we face. And so you do not have to yield to it. But the fact is, through it all, God is faithful. That's what I want to leave with you. God is faithful. Even when you are tempted, God is still faithful. Even when you fail, God is still faithful. And even when you come to accept his conquest. Now 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And this is just dealing with the character of God. And I'll just do the rest quickly. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And John is saying to them, you know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth is not in us. Now we come to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us some of our sins. Most of all our sins. Amen. All our sins, cleansed from all unrighteousness. So this is what the enemy likes you to do. He likes you to feel guilty and remain trapped. And makes you feel dirty, empty, and unclean when you sin. But thank God, God has already made provision for that. He doesn't ask you to ask him to forgive you, you know. He says, I just want you to come in my presence and admit, own up to it. Lord, I've sinned. Oh, he said, I've taken care of it. Once you've done that, forgiveness will flow to you. And brothers and sisters, you know one of the problems in marital relationships today? You know what are the problems in family relationships today? You know what is the problem in assemblies today? Is the spirit of unforgiveness. It is, can be summed up in one word, unfaithfulness. And so you and I, we need to come to grips with the fact that the Lord Jesus, he's so faithful to us, and we want to remain faithful to him. Now, I want to ask you a question here. Are you faithful? Can you really look into his face and say, I'm faithful? So he's faithful in his character. Then he's faithful in his call. He called us into his fellowship. And so he's calling us. Not just to have a relationship. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with him. Now that relationship should lead to fellowship. And what fellowships mean is to have things in common with him and with his people. So we can enjoy things of the Lord together. So the union should lead to communion. The relationship should lead to fellowship. And that's why you need to come to a group of believers. You're not individual. You need, not just on your own, you need to come together, and then we would grow together. In the same Corinthians, No, it is in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. See, Paul will never stand up before his group and say, I am faithful. But what he would tell you is this, that God is faithful. Verse 12, I thank God. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me before he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then he tells us what he was before and the grace of God. In verse 15, he says, now I have a faithful message to deliver. This is a faithful saying and word of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. All right, let me close with Luke 12:41. And there's much more to be said, but I just want to close out with Luke 12:41. And I wanted to ask yourself this. Luke 12:41. And in the context of this, it's important. In verse 34, Luke 12:34, so where your treasures, there will your heart be also. So you got to ask yourself, where is my heart? If your heart is fixed on the things that are transient, there is going to be worrying. There's going to be unrest. There's going to be trouble. Because everything is passing away. Everything is just for a little while. But if your heart is on eternal things, you'll have peace in the midst of the storm. You'll have joy in the midst of sorrow. Because your heart is not set on the transient things. So the problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. And so if you can get the heart fixed on Jesus, and you see all these things that are happening, they're only transient, that you fix it on eternal things, you are going to experience peace that passes understanding. So he comes to verse 41, and he said, he speaks the parable, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his house to give them their portion of meat in due season? What the Lord is saying to each one of us, he wants each one of us not to be famous, but to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful. Now, for young people and for all of us, not only for young people, for all of us, we strive for success. Nothing wrong with that. Every person wants to be guided. They want to gain success. But the Bible warns us of that. There is never in the scripture here, in the New Testament here, where it speaks of well done, thou good and successful servant. Oh, the world might say, you're not successful. Look at the crowd you have. You could have a big crowd. You could have so many other drums beating. You could be dancing up and down. But God is not looking for success, brothers and sisters. He's looking for faithfulness. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, nothing wrong with success. The only thing that's wrong with success, whenever you see in the Bible good, it means bad exists also as alternative. So, for example, in Joshua 1 and verse 8, remember how he was writing? He said, the law of the Lord shall not depart out of your heart. You shall meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt observe to do all that is written therein. Then shalt thou have good success. Good success. And then he tells Joshua in 1:9, have not I commanded, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But you know what is bad success? Good success is when we put God in our lives and in the center of all that we're doing. Bad success, doesn't matter how big he is, doesn't matter what he achieved, bad success is any person who leaves God out of his life. You may gain the world, but lose your soul. You may gain popularity, prestige, and power, and others will look up to you. But I tell you, if God is not in it, it is down to zero. But little is much when God is in it. God wants us to be faithful stewards. And so he said faithful. So now, to be faithful steward in this context, let me close with it. He just doesn't want us to be waiting for his coming. That's good. When you read, you have a chance, you read it. He talks of the man going away, and he speaks of a wedding, you know. And in the Jewish wedding, they marry at night. So they have to wait for them to come, and they're glad to see them. He's talking of them being ready to be at the door to meet them. We must be waiting. Number two, in the path, we must be watching. Not just waiting, but watching for his coming. And number three, not just waiting, not just watching, but he said a good steward is one who is working. So we want, brothers and sisters, as we anticipate the coming of the Lord, I want you to be able to say, Lord, looking back over your life, when you get a chance, you lie down on your bed or whatever you do. I like to lie down and just think on him. But you lie down and you look back over your life and you tell me if you do not come to conclusion that God is faithful. And then you ask yourself, am I faithful in light of all he's done for me? And then you will answer that for yourself. I have to answer it. And then we thank God that he is molding us, still working on us. Then we say, Lord, we are waiting for you. Lord, we are watching for you. You know, there's a difference between waiting and watching. You know that? You remember the story of the two wives at home? They were there and the husband was away, you know. And the two of them, one of the wives remained at home, preparing the house, getting everything ready. And when the ship came in, the other wife was right there at the jetty, you know, right there where the ship comes in. And so when the other one looked and he saw this one's wife, he asked him, where is your wife? And the other lady said, oh, she's home waiting. He said, but I came here watching for you coming in. So we want to be waiting on him, but we want to be watchful of his coming. But while we are doing that, he doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to be working for him. May the Lord help us. He's coming again. It may be today. Brother Sim called the song this morning. In the spirit we sang it. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand. And leads me through that glory land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. It will be worth it all. When I see Jesus, when you see him for yourself, life's trials will seem so small when we see Jesus for his name's sake. Amen.